Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundations and Signs of Life Radio. So we gather here once a month to explore the mind sense of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many different topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and what comes after this life. My name is Roman Karpyshka. As your host, I'm always excited to welcome these talented mediums to the show. Today is no exception. Her name is Angelina Diana. She's been on the show, I think it was back in December of 2019. And it's going to be awesome. Angela, just to give you a little bit about her, she's motivated to work towards the greater good of the world and is a dedicated person to the work of healing through mediumship. Her grandmother was not secretive about her intuitiveness and regularly engaged the open use of tarot cards. But Angelina, when she was a kid, she didn't pay too much attention to those practices. But while working as a radio newscaster on assignment in exploring the legitimacy of psychic mediums, Angelina discovered her own heritage. Fight it as she did, she was brought down a pathway that would force her to leave her journalistic career behind and replace it with something that she even had a hard time explaining at first. Ever since, Angela has enjoyed a very successful career in mediumship work. She was the original medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation. She sits on its medium advisory board and was instrumental in helping to create and host the Signs of Life radio show. Wow. She's also participated in scientific mediumship research and remains very interested in the mechanisms that make mediumship possible. She also does volunteer work for the Forever Family Foundation and many other worthy causes. She's based in Connecticut and does private and group readings, and she can be heard on Connecticut's KISS 95.7 with Courtney and Kiss in the Morning Show. Her website is angelina.com. So angelinadiana.com. One word, www.angelinadiana.com. So ladies and gentlemen, our show, just like the past couple of shows, is commercial-free. No interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we get Angelina on the air, I just want to make a couple of special Forever Family Foundation announcements. Bob Ginsberg's new book, available on Amazon. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's a guide for those who have either had a reading with a medium or plan to have one or just are simply curious about what it's all about. All profits from the sale of this book are donated to the Forever Family Foundation. And just want to remind everybody, I mean, a lot of you know this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways, that the Netflix series Surviving Death is still streaming on Netflix. Bob and the late Fran Ginsberg and the Forever Family Foundation are very prominently featured in episode 4. And one more little reminder, dear listeners, is that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes. Your questions, of course, are welcome, but keep in mind that Angelina is not performing any readings tonight. So for the last several shows, we've been bringing up questions that you, our valued Forever Family Foundation members and Signs of Life radio listeners, have been coming up with. It's just been very successful for us so far. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? And of course, as always, you can always call in and ask our esteemed guest questions directly. So to call in, it's 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So with having said all of that mouthful, welcome to the show, Angelina.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, you're in Connecticut, right?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm based out
How's
of Connecticut.
The weather there?
Grew up there. Well, we've had quite a bit of a tussle and turn with winds and thunderstorms. We're expecting, I think, 2 to 4 inches overnight here. Seems like I believe it's Storm Elsa is making its way up the eastern seaboard, and it's going to be hitting us. But fortunately, I understand our area, we're going to be okay because I'm inland, but some of our coastal lines are a little concerned about tornadoes. So we got to hunker in tonight and pray.
Well,
and
I'm a little bit more inland than you are. Well, I'm in Albany, New York, so it's a little bit more inland, but we visit Connecticut quite often, and I know you guys, sometimes you get the brunt of it. So I hope everybody stays safe over there.
Well, yes, I'm holding good thoughts for everyone.
Good, good, good. So, hey, we got some questions in that I'm going to start it off with, like, just some of the questions from some of our listeners.
Great.
So this lady called Karen, she wrote in saying, just wondering what our souls or souls do once they pass over. Is there an organized kind of life, or is it just souls hovering around? She says, he also says that it makes me sad to think that some souls seem trapped watching us. She asks, am I misunderstanding this?
Well, I think amongst my colleagues and maybe fledgling mediums, everyone seems to have a different take on this. I can speak from the consensus of other mediums and what I've experienced. It seems to me that I'll address the second part of her question. I don't believe stuck or hovering or, I forgot the word, trapped spirit.
Mm-hmm. She referred to it as trapped.
Yeah, if anything, our physical bodies are trapping our spirits as we're living. If we kind of think about our everyday lives and how we go about in a physiological way with our brains, kind of working out the mathematics of life, so to speak, that we all have an inner spirit and our physicality traps us. That's what I believe.
Reducing valve theory of, you know, the brain being a reducing valve because there's so much out there, so much information. It it reduces it because it could be quite overwhelming if you received all this information all at once, if all of your senses were thinking at once. And there's probably more senses than the five senses that we're used to. You know, there's other ways to perceive things, just like you guys are gifted with. Yeah.
Well, I also believe it's an ability, not a gift. But I can tell you that I also feel that once somebody physiologically dies, the spirit is released, so there's no such thing as being trapped. We are actually we're I don't know if this is the right English. We're untrapped. We're released. We're not trapped any longer. And I feel that a lot when I feel honored to work with someone, and I've heard that a lot. Sense from the types, I also believe every medium is drawn to this work by spirit to fulfill a certain aspect of understanding the other side or survival of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it seems like spirit, in the last 20 years I've been doing this, has brought me to this understanding of lessons that we learn, physically, here on the earth, and what is the next step when we meet other loved ones that passed before us, and also the people that we experience this lifetime with. And I believe in a continuation of those lessons in such a way that, for example, the purpose, or to address Karen's question about, well, what do they do? I don't believe they're just hanging around. I believe they stay connected completely to us because they're the best psychics in the world now. They're all spirit. And even though I feel like you can recreate your bodies in heaven or the thereafter or whatever your belief system is, I don't want to proselytize here, whatever your belief system is, I believe wholeheartedly that they can stay connected to the lessons of their loved ones that they lived with here, but also gain or assist those that have passed before them. So, for example, let's say somebody was dealing with depression here, let's say.
Okay.
And let's say that the living family members here, their lesson was to try to create healing or helpfulness to this person. And let's say this person passes to heaven or the thereafter or whatever your belief system is, and they meet up with Great Uncle Joe, who had depression too, let's say. And they say, well, you know what? My mom helped me when I was on earth. And here's what she taught me. So they bring the help that they received from the living, and they help those that passed before that maybe didn't receive that help. Or vice versa, it could be the other way around. Like, for example, my mom, who's in heaven, was a woman of extreme patience and kindness. And she had 5 kids, and Roman, she never raised her voice. I don't know how she did it.
Oh, boy.
We're 5 rugrats, can you imagine? And she never raised her voice. She just had a gentleness, but a direct lovingness. You know, we kind of quietly called her the Velvet Whip, you know, because it was like she just had a way of being kind but telling us where it was at. And
right.
And so she is my teacher in patience and kindness, because I struggled with, before I did this work, holding grudges and not forgiving people. And right. she has taught me in signs and through the people that have sent to me since her passing of how to work through that. So I believe we still have a loving purpose when we pass,
right.
but it's more fulfilling because we're not held back by the physical body. We can experience it and be helpful, but also receive help too. So I want to give hope to those who have lost someone who maybe struggled physiologically here, that they get the help. And that's what that I know our brains don't want to think about death because it's built for survival. But I truly believe the help is out there from our loved ones that have passed. So I hope that makes sense.
Angelina, you said a lot of interesting things, and I want to touch upon them.
Sure.
First of all, you just reminded me of something. It's that this whole thing about holding grudges. I remember reading something that, you know, forgiveness is the person that benefits most from forgiveness is you.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's absolutely true, because if you forgive somebody, you've just released all that burden and anger that was bottled up inside of you.
Absolutely.
It's true. The other thing that you touched on that was very interesting, and I want to explore it a little bit more, is the whole thing about belief systems. So, you know, you have Christians, for example, you know, that when they die, they believe their belief system is that once I die, I'm going to meet Jesus, you know, for example. You have others that once I die, I'm going to meet Allah, or, you know, there's different belief systems.
Sure.
How do you reconcile all of that? Do you think that what's going to happen to somebody after the afterlife is really based, like, informed and, you know, shaped by their belief systems? So everybody's going to have, like, a slightly different experience? Is there a common meeting ground? What do you think?
Well, I believe in love. I know that sounds corny, but love to me is energy, and love can mean different types of things. We have one word in English that means love, and love can be, I love this hamburger, or I love my husband, right? You know, there's no distinction between the physical word, but we can certainly, as human beings, feel the distinction energetically. So I do believe there's a purposeful reason why some are drawn to Christianity, or some are drawn to worship Buddha, or whomever, angels, spirit guides, all the above, whatever they're drawn to makes up a tiny bit of a mosaic, and it makes a bigger picture once we're in heaven or we're in the thereafter, or nirvana, or whatever your belief system is. So just like when I pass, I'm going to meet up with Christ or God or St. Peter, someone, or an angel, I hope I can meet Buddha or Allah and understand, you know, because I believe that the capacity of love is so great that one physical body can't even comprehend it.
Right.
So when we think of love, we compartmentalize it so much physically here. But when we think about it energetically, it's bigger than the mind can handle. So the mind creates.
Yeah, Christ. Just like God. You can't really describe God.
You can't. It's grander than the grandiest grand of grand.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even find the right adjective.
Yeah,
for
we don't. So, I don't even think we can comprehend the concept.
Cannot.
I mean, we've tried. We've drawn pictures of a white bearded man on the Sistine Chapel, and you know, we've tried to represent him and this and that. We've spoken in his name. We've crusaded in his name, and it's all wrong. It's all wrong, in my opinion.
Well, to me, I'd love to use the word explorative rather than wrong. You're free to feel that way, of course.
Yeah.
But to me, to be explorative about it and say, why is this person drawn to this concept of God? It brings a beautiful angle to how unique we all are. But to me,
I'm referring to more of the consequences, you know, like some dumb consequences that have happened.
Yes.
Because in the name of God, you know, that's
legalism,
crazy.
The legalism, the restriction of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I could certainly understand that, but I know a lot of folks that belong to religion, but they are very open and free and very loving. And to me, love is the basis of all that. And that's
powerful thing.
Yeah. So to me, when somebody passes and that physical body is no longer, the pure human nature of love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, the ability to forgive, to show mercy, to show joy, it's all within us, but it's unlocked for more than others. And the component of believing in something bigger than oneself helps some of those spiritual entities come out while we're still physical. I believe they're completely released when we pass and we're met up with that belief system. I believe, honestly, that there's a Buddha in heaven and an Allah in heaven and a Christ in heaven and a God in heaven and an angel in heaven and spirit guides. I believe in all that, and I believe one will be met up with that entity, and just like I can meet up with my mom.
Right.
You know, and the love that streams from that, it's hard. You know, it sounds so simplified when I talk about it, but the love is so much, there's so much more depth and
I can't wait to get there, but I'm not in a rush to get there.
Well, that's your mind talking, and that's normal and natural, and you can't fix normal, Roman. Can't fix it.
Absolutely. That's the defense mechanisms and everything, and of course, everybody has this thing called, or most people do, which is self-preservation. I don't know something about these stuntmen that go on these shows, but most of us have that self-preservation thing in there working properly.
Of course.
So you said something else interesting earlier. You referred to mediumship as an ability, not a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Like, what do you mean by that? I found that really interesting.
I personally, it's just my feelings. I know there are some mediums that truly feel that their communication from those that have passed on has been gifted upon them, and they have every right to feel that. It's their journey, not mine. But for me, I had a few experiences as a child, but I kind of locked them away, and really I started to do this work when I was in my 30s, and to me it blossomed late in life. So it's not like I always had this gift, right? When you think of a gift, you know, when you give someone a sweater, it stays a sweater. It doesn't change. It doesn't morph into something else. So to me, the fact that I chose and made a decision to tune into my ability of sensing energy, and I was able to nurture it, just grow it and expand upon it. If you would speak to anyone that saw me in the beginning of my career with the Forever Family Foundation. And I've heard Tom Gould say this to me, and it's quite a compliment. I'm sure you know Tom, and I know
Tom's a great guy.
A lot of
fellow musician and a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. Tom and Melissa are beautiful people. And,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they're wonderful volunteers for the foundation, and they do a lot of our grief retreats. And Tom gave me one of the most beautiful compliments when he said, you know what, you give the grief hope. And I go, well, my goodness, thank you. That's because when I first saw you, Angelina, you know, you were evidential and you helped people, but you've really honed in on your gift with more evidence through the years that you've known me for 20 years. And it shows that there can be a progression of ability. You can't grow a gift. A gift is a gift.
Right?
It's always there.
Right?
So to me, in my humble opinion, as far as my experience goes, is it's an ability. And if I say that, which I feel is true, I feel it does give hope to those that are grieving because they know they can go out and do it. They can learn when they leave that they can meditate, pray, or daydream and sit quietly and ask their loved one something and then receive.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, and one of the most intriguing things that happens to me sometimes when I work with someone for an hour or an hour and a half, they'll say, is my loved one still there? Can you ask them a question? I go, they've never left. You can always ask them a question. The medium is not a powerful person to make someone come through. I believe loved ones bring their loved ones to a session and they go home with them. You know, it's not that. So that's why I believe for me, I don't want to argue with anyone who feels gifted by it. If that's what their belief system is, God bless them, so to speak. But for me personally, I believe it's an ability, and I feel Spirit has perhaps given me the honor of saying to someone who's in pain, grief is separate from that, separate from your pain. There's an ability that you can hone in on, just like I had late in life, to talk to your loved ones and receive evidence and to feel their presence.
I think one of the biggest obstacles is believing in messages you received and not, you know, thinking, nah, it's nonsense. It's just wishful thinking, you know. I think that's probably one of the biggest obstacles to people just, you know, trying to tap into that energy, you know, if you do receive a message.
I feel you have to believe in it. Well, believe in it, but be methodical about it. Say to yourself, well, goodness, what was I doing before I received that message from them? I wasn't particularly looking at a picture of them, or I wasn't smelling their clothes or going down a physical memory lane, so to speak, and looking at the places we used to go to. I was just living my everyday life, and this whim came over me. You know, hearing from Spirit is like a whim. It's like this subtle,
coming out of nowhere, kind of.
Overcoming feeling of, wait, I was just transported somewhere, and I didn't intentionally mean to do that. I just felt you, or I heard your voice, or I ended up in this spot, and there's your favorite color. You know, I don't believe in spirit possession. Otherwise, you'd hear about it on the 6 o'clock news. You know, a woman in Suffield, Connecticut was possessed by a spirit. You never hear that. But I do believe spirits can give us whims. And we need to have wonderment about that and be methodical. That's why science is so important. Because even though some science about this might lack the frou-frou kind of melodic, loving tone that mediums like to take, like myself, about spirit, they do have an incredible methodology about them that brings about this proof. And if it's not this, it has to be that. And if we can be not only very loving about our approach, tap into the love of how we connect to our what we miss about them, even through the tears of grief, but we be methodical about it, have an intention, and say, you know, yesterday when I was meditating, you showed me the color blue in this shirt. And why did you send that to me yesterday? And what meaning does it hold today? Will you be showing me that today? And when you have that, you know, you could be that methodical about it. Or you can even take a moment for yourself and say, I am not going to have an intention to meet with you today, but I'm going to pay attention to the whims and have a wonderment about it, rather than allowing the questioning mind. When the mind gets confused, that's the furthest that you can be from spirit and the closest to grief. Right. So confusion equals grief. Whims and wonderment equals spirit.
Well put. I agree. Science is like a double-edged sword when it comes to mediumship, because what you described, you know, using scientific methodology to prove what you know is great. And that's, you know, the scientific mind has given us that in scientific schools. But at the same time, a lot of science poo-poos this whole thing about mediumship the materialistic science that if you can't see it, it's not there kind of thing. So it's kind of, science is our friend, but at the same time, there's some closed-minded scientists that are not quite ready to accept this whole thing about, you know, energy and spirit and all of that. So,
You could be quite, I think it's easy to be dubious about it, but I do believe that in a general tone, that's what science is. You know, and just like every medium has their acumen of how they work or how they work through things, science, I think, has many different acumens and many different opinions, because that's the actual basis of what science is.
Whole exploration. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an exploration. And I think that's where science can shoot itself in the foot. And then when you involve money and grants and things like that, you know, that's where the physical world can tie things up in knots. So I think scientists...
Yep, couldn't agree with you more on that one.
Yeah,
let's take another question from a reader.
Yeah. Sure.
So this one is... this person is anonymous, but... he or she said, I had a reading years ago from a medium that told me my family member was way up there doing important work. Of course, that meant no information about that family member. Is that really a thing, or was the medium just not able to channel?
Well,
I read that verbatim, so.
Yeah, got it. Well, so, you know, it's kind of hard to answer that completely, not knowing if there was any other evidence around it. But I think Bob Ginsberg explains this phenomenon, or maybe that's the incorrect word, this hiccup that mediums can find themselves in when they are doing a reading. And so I can't make a total assessment on the whole reading without hearing if there are other evidence around that. But what I can say is, one thing I've tried to hone in the years I've been doing this is this sensation or idea of, how can I explain it? Like when you've been reading for a long time and you have to, excuse me, there's a horrible echo all of a sudden, so I'm getting a little distracted.
Okay, sorry, but you sound fine here on my end.
Oh, good. That's all that matters. So I think I'm going to just put my mic up in front of me, and then when I have to hear you, hold on. Okay. So let me get back to my point. what I've tried to hone in on is this idea of when you've been reading for an hour or 90 minutes, to embrace the silence of spirit, because what mediums tend to do is to try to fill up the silence. So they'll fill it up with things like they're way up there and they're doing important things because they're waiting to interpret the next information that's coming. Or sometimes if you're working on the evidence and you get a feeling, you're trying to find the words to express the feeling, but it's not coming from spirit, but you're trying to describe the things that are coming through. I hope that makes sense. So in short, the an underdeveloped medium will have a lot of that kind of information with no evidence. But if there is evidence around it and the session has been going for a long time, we're human. We can get tired. We have to train ourselves to stay away from those general statements just to fill the silence. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I like your quote about embracing the silence of spirit, because there is a lot of silence involved. You're listening to the silence and getting information from the silence that you guys can only pick up. And it totally makes sense that, you know, from a novice medium might want to fill in that silence just to, you know, to have some communication with the sitter.
Yeah.
But that might not be the best thing.
No, but it's hard sometimes when you've been reading for a long time with someone and you're getting tired. It can be quite a even though you're working with spirit, you can get tired.
Right.
It's very, because what you're doing is you're raising your vibrational energy to see, hear, feel, taste, and smell, and then you have to kind of let that go a little bit and ground yourself to get a response from the sitter. So it's this constant, I'm listening, I'm interpreting, and then I'm hearing a response, and then you're doing that again. And when you have longer sessions, and then when you're trying your best not to get too emotional if the person is crying, or, you know, the empathic side of myself sometimes comes out during a session, and I have to take a breath and ask even the sitter, let's take a breath here, let's have a glass of water, and let's reset our energy a little bit, because that can be draining too as well. So it does take a bit of practice.
Well, I could imagine that you know because of the amount of energy that takes, it could be very tiring. Do you place a limit on how many sitters that you can see in a day or in a week or whatever? Do you have
absolutely.
Like restrictions with that?
Absolutely. I think that's why I tend to be quite a taskmaster when I'm asking folks to schedule something with me, because I'm making an appointment with spirit and I'm saving an amount of energy to try to do a good job for someone. So I don't see many clients on a daily basis, maybe two, maybe four. So I'll maybe work in a 4-hour period in one day, and I might spread that out during the day or do it in a 4-hour block. If I do a group reading, that might be the only work I do that day, because you can't, at least for myself, I can't be connecting all day long. It's not fair to the process of mediumship and doing a good job, and it's not fair to that sitter who's expecting to hear from a loved one. And there've been times when I've had emotional things in my life happen and I can't get my mind off myself, and I'll have to reschedule someone. So it is a very energy, you have to learn to compartmentalize a bit and make decisions based on how you schedule so that you can be the best that you can be for your clients and spirit. That's important.
Right. That brings me maybe to an understanding of what happened to me. I lost my son maybe 12 years ago. He was 5 years old. And
that's what got
me into it and, you know, the whole spirituality, because I was looking for answers. And
of course.
At that point, I was seeking mediums in the Albany area, and I saw one that was advertised, and I went to see one medium, and she blew my socks off. She was amazing. I called her from, as an anonymous person, gave her a fake name, told her I would pay her in cash, and I called her from a conference room from a place where like 4,000 people worked, so there's no way that, and she pulled my name, my son's name, out of the air. She was amazing. And then I saw this, I wanted to replicate that experience a couple of months later with a different medium, and I went over there, paid her $150 in cash, like her secretary, and said, okay, this is my name, my fake name, and the appointment time was set, and then I get a call back from the secretary a couple of weeks later, or no, I show up on my appointment time, and she says, sorry, but the medium said, you know, her spirit guide said not to do it with me. So I was like, really confused. I got my money back. You know, I did get my money back, but it's like, well, is this a joke? You know, like what are you? I mean, I was just in there to get a reading. I wasn't in there to, and you know, you want to do it as anonymously as possible, especially at the beginning of the thing when I was just learning the process. You know, you don't want any what ifs. So I was just, you know, tried to be as, you know, anonymous as possible to, because then you don't think, you know, hey, maybe she Googled my name or something, you know?
Right.
So that's actually what happened to me. And I was actually very disappointed with you know, getting that response. But maybe what you just said was that maybe that person was just too tired, maybe. You know, I didn't even consider that till now.
Well, it could be, but I think the follow-up question would have been, you know, I'm too tired, can I reschedule you? You know,
yeah, I didn't even get that.
Yeah,
I got a response like my spirit guide, or from the secretary telling me that the medium said her spirit guide should not be having readings with me.
Well,
okay,
you know,
and that was the final
know,
answer. There was no explanation.
Well, it's
so
kind of interesting.
I find it kind of strange.
Well, it's kind of interesting that I think that you know, I never want to tell or try to profess that I know everything about mediumship, because I don't. Every medium is drawn to this work for a reason. She could have had the belief system in her mind that her guide did not want to do the reading, but consider this. It's just something to ponder on, that you had a fabulous experience with a medium and got evidence that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, just maybe, there might have been something about this particular medium that they might have brought through somebody else. And maybe your son felt, boy, Dad really wants to hear from me. How can I send a message to this medium so that he doesn't get a reading? Because he won't hear from me this time. Somebody else wants to come through. I mean, I'm just giving, you know, I've heard of that before. I've heard where certain spirits draw certain people to certain mediums for a reason, you know,
right.
and it's something to ponder. I'm not saying that it happened in this case, but I do believe in protection, and I believe that in life we can be drawn to some people for a reason and repelled for some people for another,
right.
You know, but it's an interesting concept from a practitioner's viewpoint to hear a medium actually say to someone, I don't want to read you. I can't imagine saying that.
I know.
If anything.
That actually happened. And my first thought, and it might be a legitimate thought, that this person is a fraud. You know, that was my first thought. Like, you know, because I presented myself in a way that she couldn't find out anything about me. Nothing. I paid in advance, in cash, gave a fake name, set the appointment time, showed up for the appointment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she could have been, yeah.
It could have been that, too. So,
yes, it could have been.
Choice A, B, or C, one of the above, or something, maybe a combination or something else. We'll never know, because I'm not inclined to go back to that person, that's for sure.
Well, but she was honest enough to give the money back at least.
Yes, at least she was. Yes, absolutely. Hey, let's do another question.
Okay.
This one comes from a listener called Myrta, M-Y-R-T-A. Mm-hmm. And she asks, thank you for the opportunity to participate in your radio show. My question for medium Angelina is the following. If you can read for other people and communicate messages to them from their loved ones on the other side, does that mean that you can connect with your departed loved ones all of the time? Thank you kindly, Myrta.
Not all of the time. I grieve as well, and I think when you're in heavy grief, you have to pay attention to that physiological part of what your body needs, and that's part of the brain. And I think when you get caught up too much in the confusion of the brain, it's very difficult to channel information, you know. And I have to say that to my mom, for example, I would say, hey, Mom, I know you're here, but I just need some time to cry. I need some time. I know you're here. Like, I'll validate. I know you're with me, but I just can't connect right now because I'm having a moment. So for me personally, I'm not this kind of a medium who's always on. You know, I'm not in the grocery store picking up on somebody's departed grandmother, unless they tap me on the shoulders and that person says something about mediums, I will mention it, but I don't psychically attack, and I try to stay off duty. So that also means that when I'm in my personal life, I'm not always saying, hey, Mom, what's going on? Can you tell me this? I need a moment right. to realize you're not here. I miss you. Or I just recently lost a 20-year-old cat that's been a part of my life forever. And
wow.
I've been, yeah, thank you. And, you know, I feel animals are so precious, and I took good care. I took care of him, but it was his time. I get that. But I'm still grappling with that. And so while I'd love signs from him, and I'd love to, like, go in my office and channel like I would for someone I don't know, I know I've got this block, and I'm working through it first, you know. And so I think what we're, the honor of working with other people has taught me the process of which I need to go through when I'm missing. So I'm not always able to connect to my mom. I wish I could.
Right.
But I have grief, and grief is real. Yeah. Grief is something that's normal, and you can't fix normal, and you have to go through it. You can't, it's not a process that ends. It goes on
Never ends.
But you can manage it. You could learn to
manage it. The waves get smaller and further apart, but they're always there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, no, I wish I could all the time. But because I understand the process of mediumship, I can clearly understand when she is sending me a sign. And I know when she's tapping me on the shoulders. And that's all to the credit of the beautiful people that have shared their losses with me and have honored me with the opportunity to work with their loved ones. So I'm grateful to them for that. So that's not a gift. That's an ability. That's an honoring. And I'm very appreciative of that.
Wow. And you know what? I think also the ability to, you might consciously want to turn it off sometimes. I mean, you don't want spirit with you when you're in the shower, you know? You definitely want to shut that off.
Yeah, but I don't think they're there anyway. I don't think they pay attention to when we're in the shower or we're hungry or things like that. I think that they connect to the deeper level vibrational things of what's essential about us. You know, so I'm never worried that they're in the shower.
Right.
I just don't think about it.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. That is really deep, by the way, what you just said.
Well, it's kind of true, though.
Yeah, no, it's very true, very true.
Yeah.
So another question from a reader is there anything a person can do to enhance their reading with a medium? Do you find it easier to read for some and more than others?
Yeah, I do believe there are things that you can do to enhance your reading. First off, find a medium that offers an environment that's comfortable for you. For example, I offer in-person readings, video chat readings now, phone readings. And the biggest question I get is, which one is more accurate? And my answer back is always the most accurate reading would be the one of which you are the most comfortable in. So if you're more comfortable in person, you're going to be to ease into that. I think it's important that within your belief system, before you turn on that video chat or the phone or before you enter the office, take 5 minutes and allow yourself this openness of, I'm doing this for me today. So I can learn to, I'm going to learn some way to communicate with you today. I'm going to find, hopefully, the evidence, but also the process of why I was drawn to this medium and how they work and what I can take away for myself. And I'm going to pray, daydream, meditate, an intention of, I'd love to hear from blank today, you know. You know, be open to it. You need to still be skeptical. Not cynical, but be skeptical. Be open. Consider
an open-minded skeptic. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so important to allow yourself that. Sometimes folks come in here and they think it's a battle. You know, they come in with this. Well, they got to tell me their favorite color, or you're fake. You know, and it's almost like, well, okay. So maybe they didn't tell you their favorite color, but they said their name. They talked about how they passed. They spoke about their personality. You know, sometimes the medium misses that. You know, there's a lot of information coming all at once. Can we misinterpret? Yes. Can we miss information? Absolutely. But the evidence and folks being open to it. So find a comfortable space where you'll have the reading within your belief system, pray, meditate, or daydream and intention, and be skeptical but open-minded. Yeah. You know, and be sure you're not giving your life story before the reading starts.
When I started seeing mediums, I definitely, you know, because I was new to it, I wanted to be in their presence because I figured that's probably the best, you know. And then, you know, I found this one medium that I really, really trust who's amazing. And now, you know, phone readings, just as accurate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no difference whatsoever because... Again, it's not a physical thing. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be around the world.
Right.
If there's a
if
there's an energy connection through a phone or whatever, the spirit will be there. Just as just as well as if you were in person. Maybe even better than because you're not you can't accuse the medium of going off of visual clues and stuff like that from the sitter.
Right.
You know, so
exactly.
there's some strength to that as well. But in my experience, there you know. Electronic readings, remote readings are just as good as being in front of the sitter.
I agree.
Yeah, and yeah, I can definitely say that. So, yeah, I mean, that's that. Is there, you know, so the question, the answer is there's really not an optimal setting or location. It's just one that where you feel the most comfortable as a sitter.
Yes,
that's going to work the best.
And I think I think also if you honor the timeline that the medium gives you for the session, I think from a practitioner's viewpoint, there's nothing more disconcerting when a client is late and they're uneasy and they feel rushed or I can't believe I'm late. Blah, blah. It's almost like you want to give them 10 minutes just to decompress and say it's okay, breathe. You know, you're here. You're here now. Let all of that go. Let's settle into the process of what's going to be happening, and the time that we have left, or the time that we're together. You know, it's kind of a to me. I feel bad when people are late because they carry that energy with them, and I want them to feel settled, and I want them to feel safe, and know my intention to help and. That even when they were late in traffic, spirit was with them then. It's not that I'm going to make them magically come through, you know. So I hope that they'll see that too as well.
Yeah, I mean, it must be, you must have had sessions where, you know, people have come through, but not the people that the sitters expected to come through or wanted to come through.
Oh, correct. Yeah, that's very true.
And
yeah,
that,
and
that
you can't,
probably
you can't,
happens a lot. I mean, you can't predict. Stuff like that, and it, I mean, do you get a an indication of who's going to come through before the reading, like before you meet the person? Do you
not
know
at
in
all.
Advance, kind of?
No, not at all. I'm not one. I know. Like for example, Janet Mayer, who's a certified medium and a research medium, she's remarkable in how she does her mediumship. I don't want to speak for her, but she has this capability. Of sitting down before the client is even in her presence, their phone or what have you, and she has a conversation with them. She pictures a chair in front of her and starts writing. I mean, and it's accurate. It's remarkable. She's a remarkable medium.
Oh, yeah, and a very nice person to boot.
Oh, she's incredible. But for myself, she's got a great heart. But for myself... I have a difficult time doing that. I feel like I waste energy and I don't have enough for my clients. So I love to meditate and calm down and be open to whomever's going to come through. And when that person walks through the door, I start hearing or feeling and sensing things then. And when they leave, it's all gone. It's like it's crickets in the room. I'm like, well, where the heck did they all go?
You find that like the time flies when you're doing a reading, like where does it go?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Yeah. And clients say the same thing too. They're like, an hour's gone by already, or 90 minutes
I know.
Gone by already. Like, yeah.
And you know what? Our hour's almost done, believe
it's
it or
incredible.
Not. You see how fast that went? Holy cow.
It went by really fast.
It did go fast. We're not quite done just yet. We got a couple of more minutes left, but so as a medium, what are some of the things that you recommend for mediums? That's another question from one of our listeners.
Recommend for mediums?
Yeah, shoot the messenger.
Well,
I'm just reading it.
Well, no,
as a medium, what are some
of
the things do you recommend for mediums?
Well, it's an open-ended question. It's so general and vast. What do I recommend for mediums?
Don't drink.
Yeah. Well, that,
Don't drink before a session. You get your spirits all drunk.
That's true. That's very true. Well, you know,
it's very open-ended. You don't have to answer that.
Well, there's a couple of things we can explore about it. I mean, I think that you know, I've been fortunate to be part of the Forever Family Foundation for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very remarkable to me. I'm very blessed to be a part of the organization. But how, you know, the late Fran and how...
Have you heard from her, by the way? Like, from her spirit or anything? I'm just curious because I miss her dearly.
Well, personally, I have.
Yeah?
She's always around.
She's always around?
She's
doing good?
I believe so. I believe so. I believe
she was
so.
Such a wonderful person.
She is great.
What a wonderful person.
Yeah. But I can say that every medium that I've met and Bob's ability to certify mediums, and even when Fran was here, or her sharp wit and her ability to create a certification program has brought wonderful mediums to the foundation, and they're just spectacular in their uniqueness and their wonder. So for me to recommend something to them, they're perfect the way they are. What I'd like to maybe address are the budding mediums or those that perhaps are developing, or they're, let's say that they're psychics and they think they're mediums. You know, because there's a distinct difference between those two functions. I would say your first motivation should be to help. Your second, you could consider yourself to be a student of energy. When I first started to study this work, I didn't feel I earned the title of psychic medium on my business card. I didn't know I needed a business card. And the woman that ran the psychic fairs on Long Island said, "You need a business card." And I said, okay.
Okay.
So I created one, and I put student of energy, because I felt like I hadn't deserved the title yet. So the humbleness, to be humble.
Yes.
Be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Be a student of energy. Be open-minded when spirit sends you a teacher and they have a loving, helpful heart. Be willing to be open to their suggestions, and use your life as a classroom to study, to ask spirit, let me be an instrument to help others. Let me be feel honored by the work. So those are the recommendations I would make to budding, and understand the difference between a psychic and a medium, and always be loving and search for the evidence.
I think you just said the quote of the day just now. Use your life as a classroom.
Absolutely.
That is the best quote I heard all day. Thank you for that. That is that not only applies to mediumship, that applies to our experience of being alive, being human.
Oh, absolutely.
Use your life
as
a classroom.
But I have to say one more thing, if I may. I don't have to recommend that to any certified medium of the foundation. They're that in a bag of chips. Truly, it's really remarkable. I hope I can call them colleagues that I am a part of, this wonderful foundation and the mediums that exist within it are all that and more. And as the listeners listen to this, I hope, you know, I get the chance to read for you, but really get an experience with as many mediums as you can within the foundation, because they all have their certain abilities and bring uniqueness to how they channel your loved ones. There's just different ways that they channel that are just so remarkable. When I was able to do events, you know, COVID kind of changed that a bit, wow. But to sit and watch other mediums after I would work, because I could never go in But it's really, I hope everyone gets the chance to experience the Forever Family Foundation event.
Thank you, Angelina. Those are great words of wisdom. And, you know, our time is up. The hour
it
flew
is.
By.
And, it did.
You know, we thank our listeners for listening. We thank you for your questions. Angelina, thank you for your wisdom. I mean, it was beautiful. Thank you. I got a lot of good quotes today. And I'm sure our listeners have benefited from today's session. So, again, I can't wait to talk to you again.
And, thank you.
To our listeners, I just want to wish you a good night. And as Fran used to say, that, you know, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. So good night, Angelina. Thank you so
good
much.
Night.
And good night,
thank
everybody.
You.